Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session with a new whiskey to talk about. We are drinking Knob Creek Single Barrel Reserve. It's a 9-year-old. It's a 9-year-old age statement. It's 120 proof.
It's strong.
So, Steve's. Let's get into your wheelhouse quickly. I would if you serve this to me, there's no way I would guess it's 120 proof. I mean, it's definitely got a burn to it. It's definitely high octane, but it's for that it is smooth as silk.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second Knob Creek we've had in a row that has kind of knocked our socks off. We tried one ages ago, and neither of us liked it, and I think we need to go back and revisit it. For whatever reason, I'm not sure why it wasn't hitting the palate right that day.
Maybe my glassware had dishes on it. I mean, who knows?
Right. But all I know is that, I mean, this is back-to-back Knob Creeks that have just been phenomenal.
Where are you going with this? I'm going 94.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm saying the same thing. I think, 94 seems like the right score. It's high, but it should be high. You've got quality flavor, you've got strength, you've got minimal to no burn.
Presentation's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of got
Knob Creek's bottles always, have a good, solid, old school bourbon style to them.
With the wax seal and whatever.
Which, that's kind of a little bit annoying, because when you go to open it, the wax gets everywhere.
It absolutely does.
You're right. You're right. It does have a good look.
And I think I paid $42 for this.
Yeah,
$42, this is a fucking steal.
And I say this pretty consistently, that's the beauty of bourbon, is that you can get a really good bourbon. You can get a really good bourbon for $18 to $20.
Right.
Once you start to get in the world of Pappy Van Winkle and all that stuff, you're paying,
especially when you're doing aftermarket
hundreds,
shit,
thousands, all that stuff. But you can get a really good bourbon for between, $20 and $50.
Yep.
Any day of the week, any store you go to.
Yep.
And Knob Creek, it's another one. Yes, mass produced and blah blah blah, but this is
a special presentation.
This is a good one.
I'm glad I grabbed it. We had a bit of confusion when I said, "Have we had this before?" over text messages.
Yeah.
I said, "Have we had the 120?" And you said, "Yeah, we had the 119." I thought you were just being a wise ass. I'm like, "Fine."
Yeah, I feel bad.
Don't
about
feel
that.
It all bad. It was just something like,
because
okay, funny
what's
guy.
Funny. What's funny about that is that you text that. And I went and I grabbed the bottle because it's at my house, and I looked at it and I was like, oh, well, it's not 120 proof, but it's like 119.6. And I was like, well, if I put 119.6, he's going to say I'm being a dick. So I'll put 119. And then you still reply, thanks,
okay,
dick.
Yeah, right. Well, because it was a whiskey we hadn't had before, and I'm not regretting this purchase at all.
Seems like Knob Creek knows what they're doing once they get above 120.
Over 100. Yeah. 100 was great. All right, so Daniel Pantaleo, I may be saying his name wrong.
Pantaleo?
I really don't give a shit. Pantaleo, okay. The officer who was charged, well, wasn't charged, who was not charged,
wasn't charged with anything,
but was fired by the New York City Police Department over the death of Eric Garner.
He was responsible for the death of Eric Garner in New York, and this happened, it's been 5 years.
Right.
He wasn't charged with a civil rights violation. He wasn't charged with a crime initially. He wasn't charged with a civil rights violation. He wasn't charged with anything. But New York finally came out and said, look, you're fired. He used a chokehold, and ultimately that ended up being the reason that Eric Garner died from complications from that. And, it's the right move by the NYPD. It's just so late. Like, really, it took 5 fucking years.
I agree. I don't know if criminally he should have been charged. I don't know what he should have been charged
with.
Well,
the standards, you have to prove intent.
Right.
And it's tough, when you're trying to convict a police officer of murder, right? Like, that's just the way that it's set up, is that, if they can remotely, any way, shape, or form, try to justify, the force that they use, then more often than not, they're going to get away with it. We've seen it time and time again.
Right.
And, you know, there's a, you know, there was a big backlash from the, you know, various police unions and the Fraternal Order of Police. And, you know, a lot of police kind of spoke out against this, especially in New York, saying, how, well, now we can't do our jobs because nobody has our back. And you'll see what the, how this is going to turn out because, you know, we're just, you know, it's not worth us to risk it, you know, knowing that we're not going to be supported because we might get fired. And my response to that is, okay, so you're literally, so what you're telling me is that you can't do your job without fucking killing people, right? I mean, like this, listen, I get the whole, it's a tough job and you never know what's going to happen. Totally get it.
Yep.
Okay. But, like, this is a situation that what should have been handled via ticket. Right, Eric Garner was selling loose cigarettes on the street. Oh, well, they're not taxed and the city's losing money on it. Okay, give them a fucking ticket.
Or in my opinion, don't, because if I own a cigarette, I own a fucking cigarette, and I should be able to do with it what I want, in my opinion, but that's a different argument.
Right.
It shouldn't be a crime, but it technically shouldn't be a crime. It's a violation.
It's a violation, right? So do you really need to send vice after this guy? I mean, of all the things happening on the streets in New York, you needed to send 4 or 5 cops right after this guy. Now, I think they were there for something else.
They were there to break up a fight that apparently Eric Garner had helped break up prior to their arrival, if
yes.
I remember correctly.
Yes,
it was 5 years ago, but that sticks in my head.
Right. So he.
So rather than thank you, it's, and it, hey, big guy, stop doing this. Come on, you're right in front of that shop again.
Right. And I've said it time and time again. This could have easily been handled by one cop going up to him and saying, hey, give me cigarettes. And you got to stop doing this.
Yep.
You got to find a better. You got to find a better hustle.
And people come at you and say they've stopped. They did that before. Fine. Okay. Do it again. He's not hurting anybody.
Right.
And by the way,
I mean technically he is because it's cigarettes. But
right.
I mean,
right. Right. That's the worst thing he did.
Right. Was, I mean it's just. I mean it's cigarettes. The cigarettes are terrible. And granted, we're drinking whiskey and I smoke cigars. So.
So do I sometimes.
I'm not overly right, judging right. him. But the point is that this could have just been handled better. There's no reason for this guy to be dead, right? Like, I mean, one is a simple conversation, a ticket, it gets resolved. But instead, it's, we're going to arrest you, and I'm taking you down.
6 people pile on.
Right, and people are like, well, if he wouldn't have resisted, he was backing up. I'm like, listen, if 5 guys are coming at you, right? Like, they didn't have guns drawn. Like, he just seems right. like he's backing up, and... So then you jump on his back and you drop in a chokehold chokehold and you know and refuse to let him up and then it's just like oh well I mean I don't know how he died like what do you mean?
I mean anytime you lay on someone's chest choke them, especially Eric Garner was not in the best shape.
Right.
I mean it's you're taking a chance again. Should have been de-escalated. Shouldn't have been an issue. And the NYPD fired him, I agree with you, it shouldn't have taken this long. Because even though I can agree that maybe there's no way to criminally deal with this, you should be able to look at this and go, okay, you can't do this job anymore when you do shit like that.
Right.
A lot of times people say, well, it was a one-time thing. If I walk into my office and piss on the copier once,
right,
I'm fired.
You're getting fired.
And you know right? what? I should. The one time I did it, I had a good reason.
I mean, and it's just, and why is this guy... Why is this the guy that is handling this situation, right? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know much about his background. Was he really vice?
I don't know if he was
an example.
No, I he wasn't vice, but I think he was on some specific task force. But I'm pretty sure that it wasn't the stop people from selling loose cigarettes
right.
task force.
But you know how it is, though. When
yeah,
when
I mean, if you're there,
gonna, right.
you're there in the area,
and that's part of that. That's usually a good thing. Usually, it's like, okay, there's a bunch of you here. Usually, it's not. Let's tackle you to the ground and choke you out for loosies. So anyway, we've talked about that since it happened. That's closure, at least in this case. This guy is no longer a cop in New York. So when he gets hired in White Plains, don't be shocked.
Or here in Cleveland.
Or Cleveland. So anyway, this week in Trump, there's some really good stuff here. And I actually really want to talk to you about this because Trump made some comment about buying Greenland. And when it first came out, I honestly thought it was wildly taken out of context. Turns out it really wasn't. I heard that, I'm like, there's no way he said, let's buy Greenland. But he said something similar to it, and Denmark is technically like the, I won't say the owner, but there's a relationship yeah. between Denmark and Greenland.
Yeah,
and,
like, so Greenland is a part of the Danish, the Danish kingdom, I guess.
Okay, yeah. They might still have a king. I don't know.
Yeah, I think... Denmark... Okay, right. Whether they have a king or not.
I'm almost sure they do.
Yeah, but... So, Greenland is a part of the Danish kingdom. And so... It's kind of sovereign, but it's not. Greenland is slowly transitioning. Like, I think in, 2009, they gained a certain level of independence. They're still, they still have to, Denmark still handles, all their finance and defense and all that sort of stuff. Okay. But Greenland is taking on more independence and working on, I believe, becoming a more sovereign nation.
Okay. Okay. So the whole thing comes out that he allegedly said that, and I initially thought that's getting blown out of proportion. That's not being properly interpreted. And apparently, it kind of was. And then he and the Danish prime minister had a bit of an exchange where she said she didn't want, she said that was ridiculous. He called her nasty. She said she didn't want to get into a fight with him. And next thing you know, they're fighting on Twitter. They were supposed to have some
meeting, summit, whatever.
Yeah, and now they got canceled. And I've heard conflicting reports as to who canceled it. But the interesting thing to me is, so he's been mocked pretty hard by CNN and I'm sure other outlets as well. I work with a guy from Denmark. I'm working on a project with this guy, and I've known him for a couple of years now. And I had a meeting with him today on the phone, or on Skype, and I said to him, hey, what about that idiot Trump, huh? Can you believe it? And his perspective on it was 100% different. Apparently, from the Danish perspective, they think their prime minister's an idiot for not listening to Trump wanting to talk about possibly doing something for Denmark in exchange for Greenland. It's like, why would you even talk to him? And he said, furthermore, Greenland is a strategic thing in the, a strategic island in the North Atlantic Ocean and could become more popular with, or more strategically important with the heightened tensions with Russia. And he went on a whole thing how they view America as the world police and they actually would much rather see Greenland controlled by America than by Russia or China, which I found fascinating.
Okay.
I mean, it's...
So... How is Russia or China going to come in and control Greenland?
This guy's comment was that they'll just come and take it, unlike America, which will seek to attain it through legal means. He said if China wants it, they'll just take it. And certainly the I don't know what the Greenland military is like. I'm guessing
Greenland
doesn't exist, right?
Right, they don't.
But they rely on Denmark, which also... Now, I would bet you there's some bad motherfuckers in Denmark. However,
I mean, every country has a couple of those guys.
Exactly. There's probably several hundred of them.
But I don't know.
But there's not enough to stop the armies of China, Russia, or the United States.
I mean,
or the technology for that matter.
From a location standpoint, I don't see any of that as viable, right? Like where Greenland is, like in proximity to Canada and the United States. Like Russia, all right, fine. Russia annexed Crimea. And
if you're going to fly to the U.S. from Russia on a fighter jet, Greenland is going to pick you up faster than Canada or the United States.
Right, but I don't see any of this as viable.
There's no way
that Russia's going to come this close to the United States and say, we're taking Greenland and you're not going to do anything about it. Like, it's not even yours, so what are you going to... Like, no, that's not...
First of all, they're part of NATO. I found this conversation fascinating because
that is fascinating.
I didn't say it was accurate. I said it was fascinating.
Just the idea of that we're gonna go around buying random countries,
right?
And they're saying, oh, it's for the resources and blah blah blah. Yeah, okay. I'm sure they do have a shit ton of oil, but like. I just think of all the things that we could be worried about. Like I don't know if we need to go annex another country right now.
No,
and I'm not. If
and apparently Trump made a joke about trading Greenland for Puerto Rico, which actually is kind of funny.
It is, but it's
given his history, it's a dumb thing to say.
Right. But it just again, like, this guy just gets. I mean, like, come on, can we just operate? Can we just operate in a fucking sane way? Like, not like this. Like, I'm
short answer, no.
Annexing or buying, acquiring Greenland. It doesn't, like, listen, if something happens where China or Russia comes and attacks Greenland to try to take it over, whether we have acquired it or not, we're going to defend it. And so is Canada, period. Right?
And like, Denmark and England. And
everything else. Like, like, it's just not going to happen. There's no reason for us to even do it. And then, of course, then the way it comes about, you know, he throws a picture up of a gold Trump tower on the coast of Greenland, and he says, I promise this is not what I'm going to do to Greenland. Like, joking about it. It just, his act has worn thin, at least with me. But yet his surrogates and his supporters will, they are working overtime and bending themselves into pretzels to defend every dumbass thing that he's saying. Right? I mean, because he's just getting more and more comfortable in the position. He has been convinced that he's going to win re-election, and he's getting more and more comfortable with that idea. Now, it's also hard to argue with that.
Well, he's also getting in fights with Fox News, who says his numbers are slipping.
Yeah, but but he'll still go on Hannity, and he'll still go on Hannity and Tucker and Laura Ingraham. His issue, like, his love affair with Fox News are those specific personalities. He gets pissed because the rest of Fox News tries to be somewhat objective in the way that, they, you know, like, he'll do the morning show with Steve Ducey and all those idiots. Right. But his whole thing is with the specific personalities. But this is his MO. Anyone who criticizes him, he attacks.
You're nasty.
Right, how dare you attack me? Everything I'm saying is genius. It's all amazing.
Well, but
only the best.
Another thing that came out of this is the environmental situation in Greenland. And I know a lot of people, including you, occasionally, like, roll your eyes when I go environmentalist.
I don't.
But this is a big deal.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing. And I've said this before. I don't know enough about the science to really say anything, to speak intelligently about it. All I can say is, clearly something's going on with the environment, whether it's because of man or, I mean, it's the Earth. It's been here for millions of years, and we don't know what we truly don't know what Earth cycles are. I mean, like, yeah, you can do models and all this other stuff, but, I mean,
When things that have been frozen for as long as recorded history has known and are suddenly thawing, that's bad.
I don't disagree with you, but, you had a giant meteor hit and kill all the dinosaurs, and we had an ice age, and that went away, right? I mean, that went away, and it wasn't because of us. True. So I'm just saying, like, I don't know enough about it. I don't, like, even the people who do know more about it, we don't know, they don't know how much they actually know. So I'm tapping out of it because I just don't fucking know.
All right.
And I roll my eyes because it's just like, fuck, man, this is not where I want to be.
Well, I have huge concerns. I've voiced them. I won't go down the nerd path too hard. But Greenland and the rainforests are burning, which is another thing that scares the shit out of me, because rainforests have done a lot, both from medicinal research.
Pause. I think you just overlooked a major thing there, though.
What's that?
So, just to kind of flesh this out a little bit, Trump wants to buy Greenland because of, it's obvious that the ice is melting there. You're going to have access to the easier access to the resources that they have. So, by acknowledging that, in some way, shape, or form, you have to acknowledge climate change. You don't have to acknowledge the reason. And no matter who the president is, to sit there and say you know the reason for climate change is ridiculous, because you just don't. But you have to acknowledge it, which he and his staff they've basically told the EPA to not acknowledge climate change.
Right. Yep.
But yet, you're literally trying to buy an island made of ice that is melting. And do you see, I mean, like, can someone call him on that bullshit?
You can call him what you want.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if we're going to have this ridiculous conversation about acquiring a fucking giant ice island, then can we at least acknowledge why we're doing it? And it's because if you really think this is a good idea, then that means that you have to recognize that climate change is a fucking thing. Right? And this is coming from a person that doesn't, that's not in the climate change.
Right.
Right? It's on my... Listen, because here's the deal. My thing is, I don't think there's a fucking thing we could do about it. You could sit there and say, oh, well, I mean, unless you go to... unless we just stop using fossil fuels altogether, right? And everything goes 100% recyclable, there's not a fucking thing that we could do about it. And it is what it is.
I hate that argument, though. So much.
I mean, you don't have to like it. You don't have to like it, but the problem is...
No, do you
you're
that?
Not overly comfortable with the fact, like, your issue is that you're not overly comfortable with the fact that you're not sure that your position is right. Right? I mean, you can get mad at me and say, you don't like, but you're not mad at me. You can not like the argument, but the issue is we really don't know if we can reverse anything we've done or even slow anything down. We don't know what the timetable is, and we don't know what the full impact is. And we also don't know if we have control over it.
But that becomes people's excuse to do nothing. And I do shit like use reusable. Grocery bags, right? I hate plastic bags. I will carry shit out of a grocery store in my hands if I forgot my reusable bags because I fucking hate plastic bags. Because they do a lot of damage to the environment. They end up in the ocean. They don't break down, whatever. Am I, by not using the two grocery bags from the store, changing the world? No. But if you don't chip away, if you don't do a little bit, and fine, I know I sound like a fucking Saturday morning... cartoon special now, but if it's just like
it was called Captain Planet, and Captain Planet was not just any cartoon.
I was never for. I was thinking of the I'm just a Bill type stuff, whatever they call
Captain
that.
Captain Planet, he's our hero.
Well, we should have listened to Captain Planet a long fucking time ago.
Pollution down to zero,
and that thank you for that's a perfect segue because while we can't go to zero, certainly can't go to zero fast. We should start chipping away, and we should at least listen to the scientists. Listen to the people who know this better than me, better than both of us, and at least try to make a difference. Because if you don't try, I guarantee you nothing fucking happens. And most of the country just goes, beyond our control, it's a natural cycle. I love the people who say, well, God's going to decide where the world ends anyway, so let's just be fucking ridiculous. Well, I hear that argument, Steve.
Pump the brakes.
I know you didn't say that, but I've heard that.
Okay. That's fair. Listen, I recycle.
Right.
I use reusable bags. You know, when Dora was still alive, my Rottweiler, I used plastic bags to pick up her poop.
Sure.
Because there was a lot of it.
Yep.
It was massive. But other than that, though, I understood, right? And, like, listen, I'm sensitive to the idea of plastic in the ocean, killing dolphins, and all that other stuff. And I think if there's a way that we can figure out a way around plastic, and we can go, like, there's a water company, I was watching something on the NFL Network, where it was Vernon Davis, tight end for the Washington Redskins, who is promoting a water company that uses only aluminum bottles for their water.
Okay.
And I drink a ton of bottled water. I drink a ton of water in general. And I thought, you know what, that's a really good idea because what I do know is that a large percentage of the plastic bottles that you recycle still end up in a landfill somewhere.
Yeah.
And they don't end up getting recycled. And so it's just, so you either need to use something that you can reuse consistently for an extended period of time, or you go with something like aluminum that we know that we can, you know, recycle and break down and reuse.
And the bad thing about aluminum is if aluminum ends up in the ocean, or the good thing about it in theory, if aluminum ends up in the ocean, it sinks. The problem with plastic is it floats and it fucks up a bunch of things in that regard. But again, little things make a difference if they're done by a lot of people. And something else you just said always resonated with me. Most people don't know how to properly recycle. Fair. For example, you're not supposed to put film plastic bags in recycling, at least here in Cleveland, and I never knew why until a couple months ago when I found out it's not because they can't recycle it, it's because the machines they use to sort the stuff get all fucked up.
Yeah.
And so you do 20 grand worth of damage to a machine or more by throwing too many of those things in there. So when recycling companies have them, they see plastic bags in there and they go, well, can't throw this in the machine, it'll cost us 20 grand. So if people knew what to do and why, they'd be better off. We used to be much better at delivering messages for civic good, and now everything's become so political that, like, I tell you, you shouldn't, you know, you should use a reusable bag. Well, and it's more I'll take 10 bags.
Well, like, I don't think it's necessarily political, but things have become so siloed where people only want to hear things that they agree with wholeheartedly. And so if they don't hear something that they agree with wholeheartedly, or that something that they don't understand, or something that they feel somehow is an attack on them or the way that they live.
Or an inconvenience to them.
Right. But I think there's a way to deliver a message for people who think something's going to be inconvenient to show them this is for the betterment of mankind or whatever. Right. But people are so, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you literally have people unfriending people that they've known for extended period of times because they disagree with their political views. Right. Or they go on Twitter and they only follow all the conservatives, and they follow, you know, or they follow all the liberals, and they'll follow like one person of the opposite side just to say that I like to listen to all sides. Yeah, right. So I listen to this one guy and he's an asshole. You get a ton of people like that. Now, if you go to our Twitter feed, which is where our largest social media following is, listen, we literally follow. We follow, you know, Breitbart, probably 4,000 people, and they come from all walks of life. You know, the only people I really when I'm going through like our followers and things like that, the only things that I give pause to are the accounts where they're in like different languages.
Right.
Like
it's all. We've had a few doozies.
There were a couple. Like Middle Eastern ones that felt kind of ISIS-y, and I was like, oh, okay. Oh,
there was also the one of the chick getting banged from behind, and you were like, how did this end up on our Twitter feed?
Yeah. So that was just bizarre, right? Like, this chick was talking about, like, if you're fucking a girl from behind, and, you're going at it hard and aggressive and rapid, and she's trying to get away, then chances are you're banging her cervix, and that's not okay. And I will not support any man who does that and willingly, knowingly hurts a woman. And I'm like, whoa. Like, listen, I'm not saying, you're probably not wrong, like, based on science and biology, but how you ended up in my Twitter feed, I don't know.
Especially with the image she was, or the GIF she was using.
Right, like, I mean, it was just, right.
It was
like,
rather graphic.
It was rather graphic. And now, listen, I'm not opposed to porn.
No, you're not opposed
to it. But I mean, I try to keep our Twitter feed is
porn light. Other than Stormy Daniels,
kind of because in the way Twitter works now is if someone else, which you really have to be careful with, what you like, retweet, and respond to on Twitter, because that's how you end up with random shit or people you don't follow. I had to block someone because there was this one follower of ours who kept, there's this guy, Terrence K. Williams, who I believe is just a complete phony. He's a black comedian that no one's ever heard of, who like takes all the racist tropes, right? Like, he'll sit there on TV and just eat buckets of fried chicken and then make fun of liberals and just like, yeah, I'm just a nigger eating chicken, you know, or I'm just a nigger eating watermelon and blah, blah, blah. White supremacists aren't coming after me. It's the most fucking bizarre thing I've ever seen.
I've never heard this guy.
The dude grosses me out, and he always was ending up in our fucking Twitter feed. Now, listen, you want to do your thing, do your thing. I mean, and he was a huge Trump supporter, all this other stuff. So now it looks like I'm trying to filter out all the Trump supporters, which I'm really not, but this guy was just offensive to my sensibilities. So I finally realized the way Twitter works is, and I've known this, but I never really paid attention to it before. But when you like someone or you retweet someone or you respond to someone, Twitter throws that into some of your followers' feeds, right? Not all of them, but some of them, right? Like, so we had this one person who was constantly liking and retweet this guy all the time. And I'm like, finally, I had to get rid of that person. Like, I can't deal with this guy. Right. And yeah, you can scroll right past it. But like, it got to a point where like I would see his face and I was like, I'm the fly to where you are and beat you.
One of the things that drives me nuts about Twitter is, and it happens all the time, we randomly retweet like just interesting news stuff, whether we agree with it or not.
Right.
And you retweet Breitbart stuff all the time.
Fox, Breitbart, OAN,
this is what's been put out there.
And all that stuff. Right. Here's the information.
And then people come at you, or us, but you do most of the Twitter work. You know, they come at us with, like, I can't believe you're supporting this. Like, you didn't support shit. You're just retweeting an article. Read it. Learn about it. Fuck.
Right. I mean, and I told, like, the one guy was just like, well, you put it out there. It's your headline. I'm like, it's not my headline. It's literally the headline from whatever. I think it was actually a Washington Post article. I'm like, listen, that's the post that they put out. A retweet necessarily isn't an endorsement. I refuse to put that in our little bio on Twitter just because it's just annoying. But, I mean, maybe I should at this
point. You know what? That wouldn't be the worst idea.
But a retweet isn't an endorsement. But it's just like, listen, like, this is the information. Right. This is the information that's out there. And all these news organizations, it's funny because if you ever look at our timeline, because I try to retweet everything from, like, all your main news sources, you'll get something out there from Breitbart, you'll get something out there from Fox News, you'll get something out there from CNN, MSNBC, AP, and Reuters, and it'll all be about the same story, but, like, if you look at the headlines, there's, like, you're just like, how are these things connected? But they're all about the exact same event.
Right.
Right? Whether it's something that Trump said, something that Trump did, or an event that happened, and you look at how they're all portrayed differently by all these different things, and some of it is just creative differences, but some of it is they're all pushing a different narrative.
Sure.
Right? They're all...
Sometimes, like, you can't be talking about the same thing. I heard, you know, this was the thing with Obama, with Fox and CNN, too, right? Like, Fox would report that Barack Obama was trying to influence, you know, kids in high school by making them sing songs about him. Like, okay, that's completely false. You remember that?
No.
It was during Black History Month, during one of Obama's terms, and the kids were singing a song. And they said something about Barack Hussein Obama became whatever. It was just, they were in a song. Fox was putting this out there like, this is like Nazi indoctrination.
He's indoctrinating the church. Yeah, you're right.
A, he's not doing it. B, it's not indoctrination. And I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to have a, I've been pretty critical to CNN a lot of times. But today I was listening to CNN. They were on in the background when I was working. And the hostility that they were throwing at Trump, which I'm not against in principle, but it was like, it was the same kind of attack dog shit that Fox did to Obama, because that's how it sounded. There's plenty to attack. I mean, he had that weird shit with Israel, which I agree completely. If Obama had called himself the chosen one, fuck's sake, the world would have gone nuts.
So I guess to give a little background to that, though, you know, Trump comes out this week and says that if any Jew that votes for a Democrat is either ignorant of history or disloyal. Now, that's like Adolf Hitler said very similar things about the Jews right before he basically tried to eradicate them. And for Trump to not be sensitive to that is... I don't even know how to describe it. Like,
don't tell me you're shocked.
I'm not shocked that it's coming from him, but the amount that now... normal, like, we have this one guy who follows us on Twitter and gives us shit all the time. Not, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
but like,
I know what you're talking about.
But he comes at us and presents these arguments in support of Trump pretty much blindly all the time. Did not hear from him on this particular issue. Didn't, and I almost went as far as to say, hey, buddy, where you been? What's up with your boy? Right, but I didn't, because that's petty, and I'm trying to be a less petty bitch these days. Like,
too bad I didn't see it. I'm perfectly happy being a petty bitch.
But I just... The idea that that people are actually coming out and supporting Trump on that... Like, well, I mean, it just doesn't make sense for Jews to vote Democrat. Blah, 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 blah. Like, listen. You vote for who you vote for, and no group is a monolith, whether it's the Jews or blacks or even white people or
even white
whatever. But no group is all the same. But to sit there and say that no Jew should vote Democrat, and if they do, they're disloyal, then it sounds like the next logical step is then, is there a punishment for them being disloyal, right? And that's the way Jews are thinking. Like, listen, no matter your opinion on the Jews, like, their history is pretty rough, right?
Well, we're talking about Jews as group of people in the state of Israel are two things that need to get spoken.
Yes, religion, the state.
Yeah.
It's complex.
It's the language of it's the only thing that's a country a nation and a religion.
Right.
But I mean, I said that badly, but you get the point.
But either way, whether you're a religious Jew or you're from Israel, and you hear someone saying, "If you don't vote, if you don't vote for me, you're disloyal," then you have to have some concerns about that. Now it's 2019, and the idea of the U.S. government coming in and, you know, eradicating anyone seems just completely far-fetched. But then you have the situation with ICE and immigrants and Mexican and
Native Americans might still have a bit of a beef,
right? I mean, like, listen, we just don't have a great history with it. So you have to, like, words fucking matter, right? Like, words and language and phrasing matters. I got to tell you, so. This is completely off track, but I have to say this, and I don't want to do it on the show, but I'm fucking doing it. So, I told you I had that meeting with the commissioner of the police, the chief of police.
Yes.
And he's telling me his story a little bit, his background, and he said, "I work at the pleasure of the mayor," right? All right. When you know, sure. It's just like you, and because, you know, an appointed position, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes through and he talks about the transition from one mayor to another. And he described it as, if that mayor no longer finds pleasure in you, then you no longer hold a position. And I'm like, bro, phrasing, man. Like,
that is poorly chosen language.
Like,
I agree.
Like, what kind of pleasure is the mayor fight?
How are you getting this job?
Right. Like, what are you doing to get the job? Now, whatever. Anyway, side note. But I just think that...
That was random as fuck.
I know. I'm sorry. He said it, and... It just, the way he said it too, like, it just felt like, so what do you mean no longer finding pleasure? What, did you stop giving him hand jobs? Like, I don't get it. So.
My fault for making you articulate further all of that part.
But words and phrasing matter, and Trump isn't held accountable for that. CNN goes after him, but CNN doesn't have credibility anymore. I'm sorry, they just don't. They've been wrong too many times. Some of it seems malicious and intentional.
At least it's catty, right? They're at least. I mean,
you're underplaying with it. Underplaying it. Like, listen, you are a fucking world. You're a media outlet that people
multi-channel media outlet. Right?
People from all over the world use you because you disseminate information, and they have. Chosen, and listen, Fox is guilty of the same thing, right? And I hate that everyone hates the both sides argument, but the problem is we have multiple sides doing the same catty shit. It's just that they're saying, you know, their motives are different. And CNN has intentionally come out and said things and done things that weren't accurate and weren't true. Some of it intentional, some of it maybe not. But they look at their disdain for Trump and use that to justify bad behavior, right? And that's and the problem with that is that allows Trump to sit there and say, this is fake news, and any sort of criticism of me, he lumps all criticism of him in the media in with CNN. That's how he does it. New York Times, whatever. He says, X Network and CNN, fake news, this is what they do. And then if you call, look at what CNN did. Look how they lied about this. Look how this was wrong. Look how this report was poorly done. They had to fire people because this was so wrong, right? Like, so CNN, to me, has lost all credibility, and I don't think that we should underplay it by saying it's just catty. It's bullshit.
Okay, well, and let me say that prior to Trump, when people lumped CNN and Fox in the same category, I did fight back, and I'd stand by everything I said. I agreed MSNBC clearly had a slant. They didn't have the power of Fox, but they had the same slant in the other direction. I thought CNN, to me, prior to Trump, fucked up a bunch of things, and they did a lot of, you know, made it clear that they were way more interested in the dollars and the advertising money than they were in actually getting information out there. But I didn't think they were flat out in attack mode, blinders on, until Trump. And to me, they're there now. And I still watch CNN.
The reason they weren't in that mode.
Right. Right?
They didn't have a beef with Obama.
But they didn't have... They had a beef with Bush, but they weren't ridiculous with Bush.
Right.
Whereas MSNBC was.
Right.
And I think they were fair. I think Bush was a fucking atrocious president, by the way.
Yeah.
He was fucking atrocious. Sorry. He's getting lost in history because of this.
Trump makes you really reevaluate Bush in a different lens.
Not me. Because Bush started a war that we're still in based on fabricated intelligence. And that just gets swept under the rug now.
It doesn't.
So
they've made multiple movies about it. Like, I mean,
Christian Bale did. All right, Christian Bale got involved. All right, fine. I'm good.
Well, I'm not saying.
Good for you.
I'm not saying you're not wrong. But I just say, like, we're looking at Bush then compared to what we're dealing with now, and this is a whole different monster.
Bush might not have been great.
But I think that when we go back and we look at Bush, there were certain things that I think with Bush were overblown in terms of, like, a lot of stuff, racial stuff with Bush, I think ended up was not, probably not fair. The foreign policy stuff is definitely fair. It's complicated. Again, it's another complicated situation because 9/11 happened on his watch, not his fault. Right, he had to do something, and what he chose to do was go to war in a country that had nothing to do
with
9/11, and now, you know, we're dragged into this fucking mess.
I mean, people don't want to hear us talk about George Bush, but...
Which is fair. I mean...
I started it.
He wasn't great, and I think, obviously, he got in... I think you have to go back and look at Bush... I think you have to go back and look at Bush through a different lens now because of Trump, right? Like, I mean, I think hindsight is 20/20, but I think with a fair look, maybe before you gave him a 4, and now just like, all right, you know what? Maybe he's probably a 6 and all.
I mean, this is just a train wreck. I don't go there, but from a perspective of diplomacy and being quote unquote presidential, as much as I despised him as a president, and I still do. He's not doing the crazy shit that we're doing.
And no one's even thrown shoes at Trump.
No, thus far, no one has thrown shoes at Trump.
Dude, which is still one of the best.
The second shoe is the best. When he reverted to dodgeball and Andover prep, and he's like, I got you.
It's just one of the best scenes. That was the first shoe out of me, ducks. You missed me.
The fucking United States.
That was the second shoe out of.
Wait.
You missed me again?
This guy have renal release or an Elway release? I need to know.
It was.
Oh my God. I can't believe we're talking about this, but it was so. All right. Am I unpatriotic because it would have made me laugh really hard if the shoe hit him? Because I would have laughed my ass off if you got beaten with a shoe. I'm sorry.
I don't know, man. I kind of like the fact that my president is nimble enough to be able to dodge a shoe. If you can dodge a shoe, you can dodge a wrench.
All right. Let's move on. We talked about social media stuff today, and let's stick with social media because you had an interesting Facebook dust up.
Yeah, well, so it revolves around Antifa, and it was... You know, someone had posted something, and I really try to stay away from the political stuff on Facebook just because it's a losing battle, right?
I've almost entirely stopped because of that reason.
But, I mean, this particular person, they post something about a journalist that got beat up by the Antifa group in Portland, and she said, good, you know, and I said, well, why good? And she's like, because he writes for blah, 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 blah. Which is some small publication that no one had ever fucking heard of, right? And I'm just like, okay, so he says stuff that you don't like, so you're happy that he got beat up. And, you know, it leads us to back to Antifa that I feel that, listen, they're a group that you kind of dismiss as, you know, a small, I don't know.
I'll fix your point. You
dismiss them. I think that they're problematic. Even if it's only 100 of them, whether it's 100 of them or 10,000 of them, they're problematic, and you don't want something like that to grow. They're a cancer. They need to be wiped out. How you do that, police, use aggressive force. And the reason why you can do that is because they use force. Listen, just this past weekend, they were attacking people with fucking hammers. All right? They were attacking people with hammers. You attack me with a hammer, and I'm going to beat you with that hammer until you're dead. Right? Like, that's unacceptable on any and all levels.
You can kill someone with a hammer. Right? You're 140-pound stoner from Portland.
Right, I mean, like, listen, and the reality is more people are killed with hammers than they are with certain types of guns.
Certain types of guns. You be careful.
Certain types of guns.
You watch yourself, sir. I will pounce on you.
Certain types of guns. But either way, hammers are dangerous. And, you know, swinging hammers at people, that's just unacceptable. I think I hate when you've got more than one person attacking another person.
Right.
And they have, on multiple occasions that we have video evidence, attacked, you know, a random 50, 60-year-old white guy and just beat him because he had a MAGA hat on or was waving an American flag or whatever it might be. And they say that they're going out and because a lot of times it's usually to counter protest against the Proud Boys or some, you know, white supremacist organization or, you know, a Trump rally or whatever it might be. But here's the thing that you know about them. They are the aggressors. They are the Antifa are the aggressors. They are the antagonizers, right? You can sit there and say, they're going out to counter protest against that. That's fine. You know, but if you want to counter-protest and counter-protest, it's just two groups sitting there yelling at each other. Once you physically engage the other side, then you're the aggressor, and that is problematic, right? Like, and they continue to do it, right? We continue to see examples every time that they go out, they physically assault someone, even if it's just a few people.
Hold on. Every time we hear about them, yes. That doesn't mean every time they go out.
They love to make it known that they're going out. Like, they put out, like, they... I mean, they're becoming more organized, right? I mean, like, so they put out, like, hey, they're the ones who tell you that, hey, this organization is going out to have a protest here and we'll be there.
And, all right, so here's my thought on Antifa. I don't think they are this organized anti-fascist group. I think the whole anti-fascist thing is just a way to make them seem anti-right-wing in America but radical and crazy on their own, and that they are a creation of fear for the right-wing media, which always needs to have something to say. You need to be afraid of this if you are a suburban white guy. Yes, this guy got hit with a bike chain or whatever, and I'm sorry about that. And individual or relatively random acts of violence that always seem to occur in super liberal places, which I find incredibly convenient for that narrative, is what it is. But the way to stop it is really simple. Just have an unmasking law. If you are at a protest, if you are at a rally, you can't wear a mask, period. And I forget who I was listening to the other day who said that was a way that they took on the Klan back in the 60s. Like, oh, you want to do this shit? Fine. You can't hide under a hood. You want to walk
up
the
mask,
you get arrested for that. It is against the law to do this task in a mask.
There's
take that away from Antifa.
There's one other way to do it, too.
What, blow up every coffee shop? Because
no,
one of those two
no,
things.
No, no,
that's a joke,
no,
but
it's
not
a bad
great,
one.
Not a great one. That was actually... not my worst.
No, but it's a low bar.
It is fair.
No, there's two simple ways. That is that's a key way, is to, you know,
you gotta show your face when you're doing it.
Gotta show your face when you're doing it. It's an arrestable offense. Whatever the law statute needs to be, then that's how you go. And arm yourself, because it's all fun and games when, you know, you think you're going up and, you know, hitting some defenseless guy who, you know, holding a sign. It's a whole new ball game when that guy swings around and he's got a Glock or he's sitting there with a rifle. Then all of a sudden you're not nearly as tough with your fucking milkshake.
By the way, my right-wing red flag argument gets boosted a bit more by the fact that I don't have a single firearm involved in an Antifa thing. Because then gun control would be flipped.
What?
Just put it out. I've never heard of an Antifa event involving a firearm. Because the people who, in my opinion, are promoting them as this evil force with all this power don't want to have that bleed into the gun control argument. I'm just, okay.
You got to understand, I don't work in the world of conspiracies unless it's Jeffrey Epstein. So your argument is that Antifa is really from a creation of Steve Bannon and...
A straw man, yes.
Stephen Miller.
Yes,
and
yes.
Apparently all guys named Steve, named me. We created Antifa as a way to deflect...
That's a bit from
the...
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
blowback from conservative, blah blah blah, and okay.
Yeah, white supremacists and all that. They need to have an enemy or whatever, and they can't blame the guy in the White House anymore. So they need a new one, and I find it awfully convenient. Yeah, I'm totally in conspiracy mode, and I'm not denying, like I said, localized act of violence.
I mean, I think
it's easy to get some dopey loser with, you know.
Maybe, but I mean, I think you think it's happening in Portland, and you because I think it happens in Portland because they know that they know that if they did it anywhere else, that they would get met with something that they couldn't handle. That shit's not happening in Ohio. It's not happening in Texas. It's not happening in Kentucky and Alabama.
Which again adds to my point of vilify the liberal city, San Francisco, Berkeley, Portland. Again,
that's, okay. Well,
I'm not going to sway your opinion. Okay, I understand.
That's fine.
I'm saying it out there.
I mean, like, listen. I guess that is a good. That's a solid point. But I also think that if you're in Tifa, but I guess to your point, if you're in Tifa, then if you're really that pissed off about it, then you would go somewhere where. You would have more of an impact. I don't know. You're not going to have that big of an impact in Portland because most everybody thinks like you to a degree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Portland is legendarily liberal.
Right. Legendarily liberal.
And there's, I'm sure, pockets of, like you said, no one's a monolith. When people label a city like Portland or Boston, that doesn't mean there's no counter.
And clearly there are. 70, 30, or 80, 20. There are because they continue to have white supremacists who want to have a rally.
True.
Right? Like, so I don't know. But I don't think that they are.
Okay.
Well, the creation of Steve Bannon and company and guys named Steve.
That's not quite what I'm saying. But
yes, it is.
It's close.
That's
exactly what you're saying. No, I think there's layers to it. I think there's people out there who are like, oh, this. And then I think the Bannons of the world take advantage of that and fuel the fire a little bit. And
well, no, okay. Now, that's different, though. That's different. Like, I think Antifa is an offshoot from the Occupy... Whatever. Occupy Wall Street, Occupy all that stuff. I think that they're an offshoot from that. I think that they, and I've said this before on this show, that the Occupy movement worked to a degree, but it didn't have the impact that they wanted it to have. And they said, how do we take this up another level? And it's cover your face and use force if necessary. And I think that, like, I think that's actually what happened. Now, what you're saying is different than what what you just said is different than what I said and you agreed with.
Okay.
Right? Because if you... Now, is the conservative media... Are
latching
they
onto it? Latching onto it? Fuck yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Okay. That's different than they created it, though.
Yeah, I never said created. Or maybe if I did... Maybe
That's what you're inferring. What is your actual stance?
My stance is that they are taking a issue that is minor... In terms of number of people,
it's not
in terms
minor, of number of people, Jim, because if that was somebody you fucking knew that got hit with their hammer,
you're right.
Like it's not fucking minor. Like when you start physically assaulting people, it's not minor, and they've done it multiple times.
And they have, and again, I just don't think that there is organized group of evil super liberal geniuses who are fearing fascism. I think it's a bunch of dopey kids that are easy to rile up. Not Steve Bannon personally, but that crowd.
We can continue to say that it's a bunch of dopey kids in basements and blah blah blah. But like, listen,
how many Antifa people gather at these rallies?
We don't have good numbers on it. But it doesn't matter because that's that. Listen, it's a cancer, and if you allow it to continue to grow, it can be problematic.
And that's my solution is out there. Make an unmasking law. At rallies like this, you can't walk around in a mask.
And strap up.
I got a CCW. You know
right.
that.
Strap up.
No.
But
and,
I mean,
and Antifa would be far more likely to look at me on the street and want to beat the shit out of me than you for a variety of reasons.
And that's my other issue with them, right? You will never see Antifa, you'll never see Antifa attack me, right?
Right.
Never. Right, and well, it's not because
that's your issue with them. Right. Why not attack me?
No. But I mean, like, they never, like, you would never see, not even like me, well, but like but, any, like Jay, our mutual friend.
Yes,
Antifa's well, not going after Jay.
True.
Right,
well, and that's kind of my point of
they're dopey pussies.
140 round.
They're yes, dopey yes. and they're pussies.
Yes.
Right, but I they're dopey pussies that I think that this is I think this is their creation of the Occupy movement. Right, I mean they were really soft and they were just like people were listening to us, so now they're gonna listen to us when we punch them in the face. And it's you know? Just like and they're just like, all right, well we can't punch everybody in the face.
I'm gonna do a sidebar on you, probably worse than yours earlier, but when Triumph the Insult Comic Dog went to Occupy Wall Street,
I love
and they
Triumph.
Said they, I'd be too. He said that, you know, the folks at Occupy Wall Street fear this will become a bloodbath, which is the only thing they fear more. That, which is something they fear less than an actual bath. I love Triumph as a comic dog. All right, brother, we are getting out 55 minutes, and there's a couple things we really want to talk about. So you want to talk about Kenny Stills?
Yeah, so, man, we're at 55 minutes. All right, so we're going to go a little long, kids.
Yeah, sorry, it happens. We do it.
We can do the rest of this stuff.
We're fine.
On another show, you think?
Yeah. You want to do
bring
a
bonus? Bring it up
into two? Bonus? Okay, sure.
Right,
let's do Kenny Stills, and then we'll pick up.
Then we'll jump up. Okay, yes. So here's the thing. Kenny Stills is a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. He is one of like the three remaining players that are still kneeling in the NFL. You've got Eric Reed with the Panthers, who Eric Reed played with Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, subsequently sued the NFL, but has got a deal with the Panthers. He's currently playing for them, still kneeling, still angry, fine.
And a really good ball player, by the way.
Eric Reed is a really good ball player. A little bit dirty, but, you know, fine. Probably a guy I would have liked to see on the Steelers, but the whole kneeling thing, I don't know if the Roonies would go for that. So, you have Kenny Stills, who's also kneeling, and then there's one other guy who was a teammate of Kenny Stills, and I'm not 100% sure he's still in the league, but Kenny Stills is still kneeling. So, Kenny Stills comes out and criticizes the deal that Jay-Z made with the NFL. And then Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, who is a Brooklyn native, the next day at practice, he's the guy who picks the music, and he played 8 Jay-Z songs in a row. We talked about being petty earlier.
I got 99 Problems, but Kenny Stills ain't one.
And the 99 Problems was one of the 8 songs. And so I actually watched this. Like,
was New York State of Mind one of them?
Empire State of Mind was one of the songs. Now, I kind of watched this happen live action via Twitter because there's a reporter that we follow on Twitter. He's an NFL reporter because we follow a lot of NFL reporters because we both are obsessed with the NFL. Who was tweeting about this and just saying, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's a coincidence.
After one song, maybe.
Well,
after two,
so the reporter tweeted, like, maybe it's a coincidence, maybe not. 3 Jay-Z songs have been played in a row at Miami Dolphins practice today. Kenny Stills came out and said something about Jay-Z yesterday. We'll report back.
Like, okay.
7 Eight, minutes later. We're at 5 songs, right? 10 minutes later, we're at 7 songs, and now we're at 8. And, so it kind of blew up. Now, here's my thing with Kenny Stills. I completely dismissed him last year as a kneeler because my thing is, if you're going to kneel and you're going to cause the disruption that this causes to the NFL, I'm a strong proponent of the NFL. One, I love the game. I love football. Football has provided a great deal for me. Yes, physically it's caused me a lot of pain, but at the same time, it's afforded me chances that I wouldn't have had otherwise. I will always support the sport. Yes, the owners are very, very rich, and some of them are very rich, racist assholes, but you're not going to change them. That being said, the game is the game, and it's bigger than the owners. But I'm going to support the league. And I believe that the league has created a number of legendary people that weren't just legendary players who turned out to be legendary human beings who have done great things in this world and continue to do great things. And the players are now getting smarter, smarter with their money, smarter with their activism, smarter with the way that they influence the world. So there is no way in hell that you're going to sit here, that I am going to sit here and attack the league because, yes, it's only 1,000, 1,500 guys in the league, and a majority of those guys are black. But you are now creating, you're creating this number of people that are wealthy, that are becoming more enlightened to their social responsibility, and I can't get mad at that, right? Like, so I'm not going to attack the league. And so if Kenny Stills, you're going to do this thing that brings this negative energy to the league, then you better be putting your fucking money where your mouth is. And you better be putting your energy where your mouth is. Because if you're going to just sit there and only kneel, right, and then just say, well, I'm doing this for social justice, but you're not actually doing anything for social justice, then you are wasting my time and I want you gone, period.
Do we know that he's not? Because I don't know.
Well, he wasn't.
Okay.
He wasn't. And so I almost went all in on full attack mode on him on Twitter. And I said, well, and the reason why I did that is because he pulled this bullshit last year and I looked in and he had a foundation that wasn't doing anything. And there wasn't a single documented recorded thing that you could find of him having any sort of impact on any community anywhere.
For unlike, say, Kaepernick, who put like $1 million down.
Right, and Kaepernick has done plenty, yep. And so I you know.
Who's the guy from the Eagles?
Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah,
and Malcolm, also very active. And there's a number, I mean, there's probably a list of 20 players who can go through, and it's been productive for them. You know, the thing that Chris Long did a really amazing thing where he gave up his salary and he donated to various charities. And he's got this thing where Chris Long goes into inner city schools and works with a lot of kids of color and helping them see male role models in the police and kind of bringing these communities together, really amazing things. So to Kenny Stills, he's doing the same things now. Over the last 18 months, he's really put in a lot of work. And he even said there's a great article on him in The Atlantic that talks about it. He said, listen, I wasn't doing anything. And he's like, because this wasn't my lane. I didn't understand it. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't understand politics, the social issues. I didn't get. I knew that it was wrong, but so I knelt, but I didn't know how to express it, which is fair. So then
owning that is a good thing.
Right. He owned it, and then he educated himself. And since then, he's gone out, and he does ride-alongs with the police. He takes the police into projects in bad neighborhoods and they give out, you know, water and Gatorade and they talk with the kids and they try to build connections with the police and the communities that the really rough communities that these police have to go into. And to me, that's where it matters. That's where I can be okay if you kneel and you go and you do things like that consistently, not once, not twice, but consistently, and you're putting in the time and the effort, then I can deal with your kneeling. Now, I would make an argument like, listen, why don't do that? How about that?
Right. I mean,
you've defended
kneeling in the past, and so have I. I will,
but I mean, my frustration is,
especially because kneeling was that whole. Was it Nate Boyer? What was the guy's name? Nate Boyer? Who was the guy that Colin Kaepernick met with and said, you know, you used to sit during the anthem. That offended me. But if you kneel, that's your way of doing, you're kneeling for the fallen.
Right, and he's come out, and he admitted, like, he had the conversation with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a special on I think ESPN E60 or whatever it might be. You know, like, yes, I will, like, I've defended it, but at the same time, I don't like the negative attention that it brings to the league. Now, I have this really irrational, I have this irrational loyalty to the NFL, right? Like, I never played in the NFL, and so I really should not defend the shield the way that I do. But I do, right? I just fucking love it. I do, right?
Like, I know. And we've had this conversation over the years where it's like when people say you should boycott the NFL, and you're like, look, this is my favorite part of the fall.
This is my favorite part of the year, right? I love, like, NFL, the NFL to me, like, I hate this time of year because preseason football isn't the NFL. Like, but opening day for the NFL season, I watched that whole weekend, the kickoff on Thursday night, and all the way through, I watched a bunch of different teams. I watched your team, right? Like, I have no connection.
You show up to hang out with me during and what? Yeah.
Yeah, because you're just a fucking peach. That was good. That was good.
That's all right. Man. That's all right. You pat yourself on the back.
But I mean, I do. Like,
there's a game on. I'll hang out with football fans, have fun.
Right.
And because you don't, I mean, you do it when, like, the Steelers aren't playing. So you're like, I'll go hang out with this crowd, yes, have fun. And I love when you come out. It's fun. And I've gone to games with
yes, you. Which is not always the most enjoyable time. Not because of what's happening, but because I can be.
Oh, I was thought you were talking about me. I'm like,
no.
Elbowed every time you give up a fucking 10-yard run.
Yeah, I can be hard to watch. I can be hard to watch a game with.
Not that much of the time you got me super shit-faced before I had to do a stand-up set for 10 minutes. And I showed up and said, please put me on first because I'm already drunk. And then
so you're blaming me?
Well,
you're blaming me because you got drunk.
I had stuff
to do. At what point in time did I hold you down and pour booze down your throat?
You did not at any point in time do that. However, that was a bad night.
Listen, so I completely
sidetracked.
But to wrap this up, so I'm okay with Kenny Stills and his kneeling because of his activism off the field. I do have a little bit of an issue with him coming out against Jay-Z on this because, as I said before, Jay-Z owes Colin Kaepernick nothing.
Right.
Right? Jay-Z actually doesn't owe anyone in the NFL anything. This is a power move for him. Right, and people are coming out and just like, well, maybe he'll do something for change in the NFL. Jay-Z, a fucking rapper, walking into the NFL and saying, listen, you guys are fucking up. You need someone like me in here. That is the social change. That is
rapper slash billionaire, by the
way. Right, like rap, you know, black rapper slash billionaire walking in there and literally saying, we're going to do a deal. Listen, Diddy tried to do the same thing. Sean P. Diddy Combs tried to do the same thing and couldn't get it done. Right? Jay-Z walks in and just says, I'm going to make it happen. Now, is it because he has more money? I don't know. But I think, Jay-Z and Diddy are, I don't think that they're that far off in terms of just.
Come on. Jay-Z is a bigger name financially. Come on. He's the first billionaire from the rap game.
Jim,
I'm out of my element.
You are way over your skis, right? I mean, listen, Jay-Z's a billionaire. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Diddy's like a 900 all right, millionaire.
All right.
Like, I mean, Diddy is one fucking vodka sale away. You know, one Ciroc deal away from being a billionaire himself. So.
Which, by the way, is awesome how so many of the folks in the entertainment world have made so much money off booze.
Yeah. I mean, Ciroc. The Rock. The Rock's got a tequila coming out.
Sammy Hagar. Not to put him in the same category.
And what, you know what? That Cabo Wabo tequila is fucking terrible.
I don't know that I've ever had it.
You have it? What do you mean you have it in your house right now?
I have it in my house right now because we have Bill Squire on our show, and that's what he asked for. I don't think I drank. Oh, you know what? Maybe I did drink it that night, but I was so fucking hammered by the end of it. Notice that bottle has been there. Bill Squire helped us kick off this show.
He did.
And that bottle's still there.
And I'm a big fan of Bill Squire.
I am too. Great friend, great comic.
Which is weird. Like, I've never had it. Like,
you know what, though? I bought that for Bill on the show. And I drank some with him that night. Okay. So it's been 2 years.
Okay. But again, sidetracked. Kenny yes. Stills, Jay-Z. Kenny Stills comes out against Jay-Z for the deal. And I'm a firm believer. Like, listen, Jay-Z doesn't owe you guys anything. Yeah, social change, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But this is the social change, right? I mean, the social change that you want, like, your owners can't fix, right? Like, I mean, okay, you're protesting, you know, police shooting people in the streets and killing people in the streets with impunity. Yes. Jerry Jones can't do anything about that. You know, I mean, fucking Jimmy Haslam can't do anything about that. Art Rooney II can't do anything about that, right? Like, if that's your beef is with your local, state, and federal lawmakers who allow this sort of behavior to exist, right? Now, if you want to say they need to put more, if you want to say the owners need to put more pressure on legislators about this, then okay, fine, I'll have that argument with you. But Bob Kraft will sit there and say, "Listen, between my rub and tugs,
if you didn't go there, I would have."
Right? Like, I mean, Bob Kraft will tell you, "Between my fucking rub and tugs, I was in the streets with Meek Mill." Right? I mean, like, so who is a guy that was supported by Jay-Z? And let's, like, the list of things that Jay-Z has done from a philanthropic standpoint in terms of social justice, like, him and Beyonce, like, it's, bro, they, I mean, they've given millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like, not, and that's not an exaggeration, right? I mean, they funded that documentary on Khalif Browder. They've funded this effort with Meek Mill. And, you know, in connection with Robert Kraft and the guy from the Sixers, the owner from the Philadelphia 76ers, he's done a shit ton of work, right? I mean, and a lot of it has gone unsung. I mean, there was a list on Twitter of all the different things that he's done, but to call him out and say, you shouldn't do a deal with the NFL, again, while you're collecting a check from the NFL, if you're so pissed at the NFL for how they treat people, then what the fuck are you, like, what are we doing here? No, don't butt me. Like, how does that make any sense?
He's not pissed at the NFL. I mean, the kneeling thing is not
a protest. He's pissed at the NFL. He's pissed at the NFL for not
blocking Jay-Z.
Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, because they're blackballing Colin Kaepernick. Which they are.
Right. But, so
yeah, no, I just want to say the kneeling isn't anti-NFL, it's anti-police brutality and lack of civic response. That's the way it came out, and I just wanted to make sure that
But I just don't understand how, because you're sitting there and saying, well, the NFL is racist because they're not letting Colin Kaepernick back in because he knelt, yet they're paying you, you're kneeling. And your coach was fired because he's fucking nuts and not a good coach. And they brought in a new coach who doesn't necessarily agree with you politically, but you are still on the fucking roster, right? Eric Reed, you're in the lead. And I think your coach is a little bit more open to your thought process. River Ron. But so that's where I have an issue with these guys, right? Like, because, like, And I don't have a good reason for why Colin Kaepernick is out of the league, other than they're blackballing him because he nailed.
It's a distract. We both know. They don't want the negative attention. The fact that Eric Reed and Kenny Stills are doing this
doesn't get nearly the
attention.
But I think the thing that result, like, honestly, where the NFL is fucking up is by not having Colin Kaepernick in the league. If I'm Roger Goodell, I'm like, I need this to go the fuck away. So I'm looking at these teams. I would look at a team like Miami. I would look at a team like Baltimore. I would look at a team with any team with a fucking running quarterback, and was like, fucking sign him, make him second string, and let's just be done with it, right? I don't care what his fucking annoying girlfriend says. I don't care. Like, just put him, stash him on your roster, keep him on the roster. Somebody gets injured, you need to bring somebody else on. Then if you need to cut him at that point, fine, do. But bring him in, get him through camp, get him in through for at least a season, and we can be done with this.
Okay, we are now just at about an hour 15. We should probably wrap this up.
Shut it down.
We can do more stuff.
Shut it down.
So we're at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. We're jim@whiskeycongress.com if you want to email me. steve@whiskeycongress.com if you want to email him. Thank you for listening. As always, enjoyed it, and we are out of here.